Start. All right. Welcome, everybody. Pastor Eli James here. This is Eurofolk Radio. And today we're again interviewing.
I'm going to press record.
Okay. And Barb.
Did you press it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Barbara Ann Novak.
Okay, now it's okay.
Okay. And Barbara Ann Novak is going to start off today by singing us a song. And first with the lyrics. Over to you, Barbara.
Yes. All right. The title of my book is I'm Fearlessly White, 1,000 Years with the Jews. Chapter 26, part 9, Jews killed Jesus, not the Romans. So this even the ninth hour that we're in. And isn't it amazing, Pastor Eli and audience? We did not plan this. It was not part of my book. Pastor Eli handed me some lyrics at the meeting, at the Christian a meeting, and it just unfolded week after week, and I could really do a lot more, but this, we're just going to tie it up right here. So the first thing I want to do is first to tell you about the Passover, that, you know, there's different dates on the Passover. So I'm just going to take the regular calendar, which is today, Holy Thursday. I didn't know Jesus was celebrating the Passover on Holy Thursday. I thought it was the Last Supper. And so about a year ago, I looked on the internet to see approximately what he would have eaten. And so what he would have eaten would have been tilapia, because that's what the Peter and his buddies were catching in the lake there. And he would have eaten hyssop. I don't think what I have it now. I have tilapia now all cooked in my refrigerator for today. I'm going to be eating with Jesus today. He's not going to be there really, but in my heart.
Oh, yes, you know, he will.
My gift. It's like, I'm not even worthy to, you know, but anyway, the hyssop I go foraging, and it's like green, you know, like a green stem with purple flowers, could be white flowers or something, depending, but I just have the dried, so I'll put that. Then he had, beans. So I got white beans and I made a stew out of it. So I'll have that today. And then he had, Pastor Eli was kindly telling me that it was flatbread without yeast. Right. So I got cauliflower, flatbread, and then I got another one with protein. That's even, you know, very high in protein, like double the protein. It's made with peas. Anything with peas is high protein. But this is excellent. This is very good for, you know, number one. And then, of course, since I was alcoholic for 7 years after Mama died, I just crashed. Never drank in my life. I can't drink if you're around me. Just take your drink the other way or something. Because, I mean, I've been in, like, casinos and everything else with alcohol all around. But I never interacted socially with anybody. It was really more like a job. But anyways, this is Welch's Sparkling Red Grape Juice. And, yeah, that's what it's called. And in fact, what Jesus had was probably more like that. It wasn't like the wine that we have today. So, and I think that's it. Anything else about the Passover you want to share? And I'll start the lyrics.
No, I guess, like you said at the beginning, different religions practice Passover on a different date. So, but as long as we get the order correct and we commemorate the Last Supper, that's the important thing. Okay, over to you.
Okay. Now here's lyrics that I found. It's from the New Living translation with the filament. I didn't realize you go down there and they had karaoke songs. This was the first one that I found. I have sung it. I have played it in my car. I have cried so bad because I just have had so much Jesus in my life. But periods of where I didn't, you know, have him in for years, you know, because I was working. But anyway, so I feel very strongly, to say the least, very emotionally, both the sad part at the beginning and then the end of this song, which is the crucifixion. And that's exactly what this chapter is about. It's by Shane and Shane Lyrics, Oh Praise the Name, and it's Anastasis, which means in Greek, resurrection. And that's what we have coming. So even though we've talked about all this suffering and all what the Jews, remember, We've got to remember the resurrection. He's immortal, and in our reality, not in the human sense, but even today, our spirits, our souls, our mind that is good, we're immortal. So this is what we're gonna end with today. Okay, so here we go. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree, his body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord your God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. And I just want to show this to you. Hold on. This is Jesus' face from the resurrection.
Okay.
I just love that picture. I have it in actually one of my professional artist frames. So.
Yeah, that's a big old smile.
One more stanza, and then we'll start the song. And I've never done this before, so folks, be patient. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days, we will sing your praise. O Lord, our God. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to start this here. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Our praise, O Lord, O Lord, our Son of heaven, he rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. Listen, he shall return in robes of light. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. O praise the name of the Lord our God. O praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. O praise the name of the Lord our God. O praise his name forevermore. For endless days we must sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. O Lord, O Lord our God. Wow. It just moved me to tears. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. Anyway, I love it.
It's a good song.
I absolutely love it. So, anyway.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, what are we going to do today?
All right, it's going to be, it's like I said, number 9. And let me, I turn this off, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure I don't get any echo back here. It's the last one of our series, Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Some of this we went over already, so I just try to pull out the best of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just kind of, you know, get our point across. And so here we're going to go with the Jews. Let's see, how are we doing on time? I don't want to, I got one other thing I might read later, okay, as I wipe my tears away through my glasses, okay. All right, the title of this subchapter is, I put Jews Crucified White Jesus. It just says Jesus was crucified, and I turned it around, okay? And this is from Luke chapter 23. But the Jewish mob, oh, they shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their Jewish voices prevailed, and it still prevails in Washington, D.C., in the House and the Senate. And it's still whatever they demand. And it doesn't sound like they're demanding. It's because we've been, you know, for 100 years at least, you know. Anyways, so white Pilate sentenced white Jesus to die as they demanded. He turned white Jesus over to the Jews to do as the Jews wished. That's the whole story. Okay, Pastor Eli and audience, yes. It's right there in that final sentence, everything that we've talked about. to do what the Jews wanted, turn him over to them. He washed his hands, innocent. All right, now here's the crucifixion. As Jesus carried his cross, a large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But white Jesus turned and said to the Jewish women, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your Jewish children. For the days are coming when they will say, quote, 'Fortunate indeed are the Jewish women who are childless, the Jewish wombs that have not borne a child, and their breasts that have never nursed. Jews will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills.'" And remember this, I talked about this several chapters ago, when St. Paul was arrested and sent from Jerusalem to Rome, to Italy, and he had to go in front of Felix, the governor. Well, who's next to him but his living tramp, Drusilla the Jewess, it says in there, the Drusilla, the Jewish woman. And so anyways, and I had this in here, I thought, I don't know if I'll have enough time for it. But I mean, she had him, she bribed him, she had him arrested, she had him thrown in prison, she had him put in chains because he would not give in to her bribes like all of our white people have even done. So we're like co-conspirators and whoever, it's Chinese or whatever. Anyways, where it says Jews will beg the mountains, fall on us and plead with the hills. She was in Pompeii, Italy during the Vesuvius volcano. And that volcano erupted and all that lava killed her and her son, who was named after the Herods. So we had four generations of evil Herod, the kings, and then that one. And that I don't know about the rest of the Herods, but I know that was the end of her. Now, in contrast to her, let's talk about Mary, who was white. We need to, Mary, Jesus's mother, needs to be part of the equation. And even his father, because although his father and his father supported him, simply because we need role models for our white people, a mother and a father. And like my husband and I think we're good role models for children. And so here we're going to go Mary's seven sorrows. First, Simeon's prophecy. And this is from Luke 2:35. "And you yourself, a sword will pierce." So this is her sorrow. "She went to the temple to fulfill Mosaic law, offering her firstborn son to God. She was surprised when Simeon took the white baby Jesus into his arms and announced he was the Messiah. But he warns Mary." Now, boy, that sounds really good. Quote, "A sword shall pierce your soul." Second sorrow, the flight into Egypt, Matthew 2:13. "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" Jewish King Herod. Mary and Joseph, to save baby Jesus, packed a few essentials. They fled to Egypt away from the evil tyrant Jew King Herod's band of soldiers. I mean, he had them all over that town. Third sorrow, Luke 2:41. Jesus speaks with the teachers. And that would have been Jewish teachers, I would think. "Every year, Jesus's parents went to the Jerusalem Passover festival. When Jesus was 12, his parents took him as usual. But after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. They assumed he was among the other travelers they were walking with. But when he didn't show up that evening, they looked for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them at age 12, mind you, and asking questions. He was that intelligent. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mama said to him, I call him mama, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. And this is from the New Living Translation footnote on the bottom. You know, Jesus replied, these were his words, didn't you realize that I should be involved with my father's affairs? And I didn't put this in, but I mean, I thought about it because father is capitalized. So in other words, the affairs of his mortal father, you know, his human father, which he respected and loved, his God, his father came first. The fourth sorrow, Mary meets Jesus on his way to the cross. And it says here, Mother Mary pushes her way through the shouting, cursing mob. At last, now the Jewish cursing mob, okay, because they have no word in love in their Yiddish, but they have the worst words of hate that we don't even have in our Christian, nor do we want them, and the Jews. Mary's heart breaks in sorrow, unspeakable sorrow at the outrage committed against his precious body. We talked all last week about what his body went through, mind, everything top to bottom. She is powerless to minister to him except by her presence. Her very presence, not her words, her actions, or anything. Just that presence, because he was in her womb 9 months. And there's something beyond the human that we don't even realize that's a real. You can almost touch him. Their eyes meet and speak volumes of love. This is as they're going, he's carrying the cross. In a frozen moment of anguished silence. And then later it says, trust, trust. Jesus' heart speaks to hers. The fifth sorrow, standing at the foot of the cross, about Mary, John 19. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas. You know, Pastor Eli, I've read this, and I didn't realize Mother Mary had a sister. Mother's okay. sister. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother. Did you know that Mary of Clopas, wife of Clopas, was Mary had a sister?
Not,
did you know
not
that,
that
Pastor
I recall.
Eli?
No, I don't recall that.
Yeah. Yes, it's here. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, I like the way. In fact, I looked up dear woman. In BibleGateway.com, you have like many, many, many different versions. And you'd be surprised, there's at least maybe 10 or 15 passages, not just this one, through the Old Testament and the New, especially Jesus' healings. When he talked to the woman after he healed them, or before, he goes, he doesn't say their name. He just goes, dear woman. And at that time, as you know, the Pharisees and the Jewish women they couldn't even go in the temple and everything up until, you know, 1968. So Jesus didn't see that. He called them dear. And I mean, we don't want to idolize the woman either, because we really is the woman that needs to change in our white World War III. And we must take care of our men, and especially our boys, and get them to be able to focus when they're even very little. So here's what he said to her. Dear woman, here is your son. And he said to his disciple, that was John, his beloved, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. And so when he's hanging on the cross and he mentions this. She knew that even right then and there, their relationship was over humanly. But look at how he cared for her. What a man, what a guy. Sixth sorrow, the crucifixion and descent from the cross. That's John 19. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus, and it says, because he feared the Jewish leaders, again, this is all throughout how everybody fears, Jesus feared, and our Congress fears him, our world today fears him. And the opposite is not just to go hating them, it's really to put them in their place, whatever's going to happen, is for us to love. That is the antidote. In fact, fear is the source of all disease, sin, and even death and guilt. So we have to get rid of fear. I'm not afraid, and know why. Because God is. Anyway, so Joseph Arimathea asked White Pilate for permission to take down Jesus's body. Jesus's body is taken down from the cross and placed in her arms. And I have a painting of Mary who's sitting down and Jesus is in her arms. It is just heartbreaking. I don't think any Jewish man had to do that for his mother or wife. No, Jewish mothers are treated like queens. Look at the movie, the first movie, that 1927, The Jazz Singer, where Al Jolson, the Jew, paints his face black and he's singing a song on a stage to the audience. And his Jewish mother, the Jewish princess on pedestals, baloney. I don't believe in their idols. I will not idolize. I idolize God, and they're no part of God. They, ooh. Anyway. All right, so they place in her arms. Mary embraces her son with a love beyond words, beyond a love, beyond words, beyond grief itself. She who had given birth to divinity now presses the bloodied and battered remains of his humanity close to her sorrowful and shattered heart. The Jews did this. And then she prays, let it be done according to thy will, Lord. She turns to God. The seventh sorrow, assisting at the burial of Christ, Luke 23. As Jesus' body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. Mary, the faithful disciple, insists on helping and returns to the tomb with the woman. That's another thing I never realized. I thought it was just Mary and the other Mary, but she actually, his mother actually returns to the tomb with the woman. They go about their task of washing the body with great reverence and wrap it in long strips of linen, taking great care to pack the fragrant spices. And that includes myrrh and aloes that Nicodemus had brought. They put it between the cloth and the body in order to reduce the stench of death. Mary hesitates before placing the grave cloth over Jesus's face. So picture Mother Mary, white Mother Mary and white Jesus. Tenderly, she kisses him dead one last lingering time. John, the beloved, who's now her custodian, steps forward to take her hand and lead her to his home. She had to leave Jesus. I mean, just not a dead body, but what the whole 3 years, her whole life. Beyond them, they hear the heavy round stone rolled to seal the cave. It was a burial site. Mary's pierced heart remains united to the stilled heart of the one they had pierced, the most sacred heart that was formed in her immaculate womb. With one languishing wail, a wail is like beyond screaming, beyond crying. It comes like from the depths of your body, from your feet and your whole being. It's a wail. She proclaims what others are just now beginning to believe, what she knew already. Quote, my Lord and my God. God was right there, the Spirit of God. Okay, now we're going to go over the death of white Jesus. This is seven last words that tortured Jesus, screamed out on the cross. We told you how much pain he was in. I mean, it wouldn't be like, I said this and I said this and I'm an angel. I'm like God. He was wearing a body still, you know, he'd be whatever you and I would go through. It was, we've never even experienced anything this bad. All right, seven last words. Luke 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, the Romans, for they, the Romans, don't know what they, Romans, are doing. And the white Roman soldiers gambled for his clothing by throwing dice. They had no idea, any more than we've had the executions here in the United States for, I guess, since our inception, since the pilgrims came in here. The people that do the executions, they're just hired. The Romans didn't know anything about it. It was the Jews who crucified Jesus. All right, now here's another saying, Jesus' last saying. This is Luke 23. And Jesus replied to the good repentant thief hanging next to him, not the unrepentant criminal on Jesus' other side. He said, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. So you have Jesus, you had two role models. You had, they both were criminals, murderers, insurrectionists, or whatever, against Rome, no less. And so the one just said, you know, he had that attitude. And the other one, all of a sudden, all that, probably had that attitude at one time, and then melted, not to be sissy-like. I don't, you know, my mom always say, stand up to Jews, you cowards, she would tell daddy, but to be loving and realize that the Son of God was right there forgiving his sins. And he says, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. All right, number three, John 19. Then Jesus saw his mother Mary standing there beside the disciple he loved. He said to her, dear woman, we had this already. Here is your son, John. He said this while he was on the cross. And Jesus said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Yeah. Fourth saying of Jesus on the cross, Jesus cries out to the Father. He cries out. This is Mark. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And then Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Or why have you forsaken me was the original one. But I looked in the Harper's Bible pronunciation dictionary here because I used to say that completely different. And this is kind of like the go-to for pronunciation. So, and I got it correct, you know, because sometimes I just stumble on these. All right. Now we have Jesus on the cross. Number five, Jesus's death. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. Now, so he was asked twice the Romans were going to give him on a sponge, like a wine vinegar, and I think hyssop, a sponge hyssop or something like that. So he didn't take it the first time, but at the last minute, you know what? I'm going to take whatever you got. You know what I mean? He went material. And six, this is from John 19 again. Jesus said, "It is finished." And that's like, I can only imagine in my wildest dreams, because I've had nine weeks now of taking some time, not, you know, from morning till night, because I do so much cooking and other things. And so anyway, it's like, I'm finishing this today. And yet this is only the beginning of what I know about the Bible. We had a chapter on Jesus's healings earlier, and all I did was I labeled them like heal the blind, heal this. It was all real, you know, just to put in one chapter. I could make that go on for about two or three chapters. But anyway, so it says here, it is finished. Luke, then white Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he died. When the white Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this white man was innocent," and that was the Roman, or "This man truly was the Son of God." Then I go on to continue with the Bible verses. Some white women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now here's, this is called four phenomenal events happened when Jesus died. Okay, so you remember he died, and what happened? The darkness, that's number one. Jesus was placed on the cross 9 a.m., and this is from Mark 15. And then a quote, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land." In the Old Testament, darkness is frequently a sign of judgment. Think the ninth plague of the Exodus event was darkness over Egypt for 3 days. Then came the death of the firstborn sons. In contrast, Jesus endured God's judgment for our sins. And yes, we're sinning. We still don't love one another and that, but they better get, if we got sins, what do the Jews have compared to what we're doing? You know what I mean? They better get their act together. Next, second phenomenal event, the curtain. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The way it was torn was a work of God and not human effort. Third was the earthquake, Matthew 27. The earth shook. Rocks split apart. When God gave Moses his law, I'm assuming that's the Ten Commandments, and Mount Sinai, the whole, quote, "The whole mountain shook violently." So pictured God's giving those Ten Commandments. He goes, "I'm not, these aren't suggestions." It was so mind-boggling compared to their behavior before that, worse than animals, you know what I mean? The whole mountain shook violently. And then in Exodus 19, it showed the immensity of the earth shaking revolution that had just taken place with the splitting of the curtain. Four, the dead raised, Matthew 27. And then it quotes the end of that sentence, "And tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Can you picture them coming out of the ground? Real, not this Hollywood, Jewish Hollywood stuff, but really happening. Old Testament saints, it says. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's a good chapter. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The burial of Jesus. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Okay, we did this before. And then Pilate, that was after Jesus died and he was going to, okay. Joseph was an honored member of the high council and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead. So he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph was rich, bought a long sheet of cloth, and then I put in, that was the Shroud of Turin, which I discussed last week. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved from a rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. Now here's the resurrection. This is Matthew. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, number two earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Listen to this. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The Jewish guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where the body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. This title is called The Report of the Guard. As the women were on their way, some of the Jewish guards of the tomb went into the city and told the leading Jewish priests what had happened. A meeting with the Jewish elders was called, and they decided to give the Jewish soldiers a large bribe. Bribe, bribes, and more bribes. That's all they do. They told them, you must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole the body. If the white Roman governor hears this, that was Pilate, about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe, the Jewish guards, and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it till today. This is what we're up against. And as they went, now this is the ladies, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, fell on their knees, grasped his feet and worshiped him. That's how they did it. But I'll tell you something. I read, I think it was in The Power of Concentration I have in that cabinet. It said, if we saw each other, like Pastor Eli, if I really saw your soul and spirit, or you saw mine, we would, or anybody in the audience or whatever, we would bow and worship them. That's if we're seeing them correctly, not just the mortal that's in front of our eyes. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, exclamation point. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, all right, so this is, we already had this before, so I'm not going to repeat this again. All right, afterwards, even this was well after he was resurrected, he appeared in a, now listen to this, he appeared to a, in a different form. For some reason, after we die, we may not keep the same form that humans are used to, okay? Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. That was called the Road to Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem that where they lived, and he took them. They took him home, and that's when they broke bread. That's when they realized it was Jesus talking, telling about the crucifixion. And anyways, they rushed back, the two fellas, to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. So Jesus rebukes the 11 for not believing Mary Magdalene, and there were others too. There's other women, and I think Joanna and other Mary and stuff like, oh, and maybe his mother was there too. So Jesus, one of the last thing he did was he rebuked that you didn't, when Mary told you that and the girls told you that, you, because you refused to believe what they said, that they had seen him from the dead. And then Jesus told them, this is kind of like his final saying, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. When it says the whole world, I do not mean the globe that we have today 2,000 years ago. He did not mean that. He meant a certain section. And our people, the Israelites, chosen ones. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. I feel sorry for our people because they don't even know who Jesus is in all of Europe, practically. I just heard something this week that we don't even read the Bible anymore. And I'm thinking, wow, what a catastrophe for the Caucasian Christians. It is not true for the Jews and what they're doing. It's not true for the Muslims or people that don't even believe whatever they're into, you know. Yes, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs, now this is important. This is probably one of the most important things of the past 9 weeks. These miraculous signs, that's all his healings. I think that was in chapter 3. I just itemized them. I didn't discuss them because I never dreamed I was going to go into this ever. But I wanted that part in there. But these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. So Jesus is telling us, it's not just me that has done these things. You, as God's idea, I don't mean mortals, but as God's ideas, you can do these miraculous signs. There's no reason why you can't. But except that we've our mentality has been dumbed down to like the level of a little ant or something like that compared to what we're capable of. And he continues, They will cast out demons in my name. And I'll tell you, there are demons running all over Israel, all over Chicago, all throughout. And the Jewish demons, you know what I mean? We can cast them out. It isn't just like, oh, this little figure, or not little figure, but this Satan that's going to come along and do all this. There's humans that are, we need to cast out devils. I'm not casting their devils out. They have to. It's not my responsibility. And they will speak in new languages. And new languages might not be like French or Polish or German or something like that, or English. It may be, we'll have a whole different language when we start rising to our spiritual high level. Now, this is real important. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Jesus is giving his directive. You saw what I did for 3 years. You are capable. And then Jesus also said something earlier in John. Okay, so this, we're going to go backtrack real quick. He says to the disciples, this is John 14, so it's kind of like in the middle. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. And then Thomas says, no, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him! Exclamation point. It was in his acts, not the body. It was in his acts, his deeds, his sentences, his words. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. That's his healings. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Here is his, he just wasn't telling the apostles for that. We are capable for all time. It's possible. Here's what he said. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes. Ask me for anything in my name and I will do it! Exclamation point. Now, back to Jesus' ascension into heaven. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. It is finished and we've got 5 minutes to go. I'm going to let you comment. I'm going to get some water.
Well, very good. I mean, it's very good. I'm hearing myself bounce back. But very good analysis of the last days of Jesus Christ. Well done. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's see. I
Okay.
got
Yeah.
there was something I was going to read, as long as we had a few minutes.
Oh,
And this
okay.
is from the Bible, you know, the New Living Translation. And this had to do with, let's see. I need to get a different pair of glasses. Okay, hold on. Real quick. Whoops. You know, after the Jewish woman beat and crippled me in Vegas, I had double vision. So, but I
Oh
have
boy.
different glasses for different things. So I'm grateful I'm not blind. Anyway, so he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And then it says here, when the Lord had finished, all right, so I got that. Okay. Then it says here at the bottom, you know, in the bottom of the Bible there, and what I just read, it says here, some early manuscripts add, and they, the apostles, excused themselves for not knowing, saying, now listen what the apostles said, and this could apply to today, folks. It says here, this age of lawlessness and unbelief is under Satan, who does not permit God's truth and power to conquer the evil, unclean spirits. Therefore, reveal your justice now. And then this is what they said to Christ, and Christ replied to them. The period of years of Satan's power has been fulfilled, but other dreadful things will happen soon. And I was handed over to death for those who have sinned, so that they may return to the truth and sin no more. It's all about truth in everything we do. We can't live under these Jewish lies anymore. And so they may inherit the spiritual, incorruptible, and righteous glory in heaven. So I thought that was interesting too. I'm glad I got that in the last minute, right? Because I thought there's just I knew it was going to be close. And I thought, well, there just isn't enough time, you know. So
yeah, he said sin no more. He didn't say there would be no more sin. Okay, like some of the churches
right.
teach. Yeah. Okay, Barbara, very good. All right, so yeah, we'll wrap it up for today, and we'll. Oh, I won't see you next week because I'm going to be traveling. I'll be actually
okay.
doing the not the Passover. Well, actually, it is part of the Passover this year. The eclipse in Macanda, Illinois. I'll be in Macanda, Illinois for the X marks the spot eclipse. Maybe I'll even do a live report from there. We'll see if I can do that
I would
with
like
my computer.
That. I
yeah.
would watch it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll be
I'm
in
not
awe.
Gonna go. I got the glasses, you know, to wear to look at
right.
here, but
yeah.
I would like a report and to talk to other people, see how they're doing. White people, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Orders for
yeah.
headquarters.
Yeah.
No
it's
Jews.
Mainly white people who are interested. Okay. All right. Very good, Barbara. All right, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
And one last thing. Next week is going to be about ideas on saving the white people. And
right.
it's called Long Live the White People or
race.
Something like that.
Long
and
live the
I
white
like
race.
Your input. I'll
yeah.
give you an email or something to because the whole chapter is positive. We're going to leave the Jews behind and everything. Now we got to get down to work. And this is the hard, but the hardest part hasn't been done since Jesus' time. You know what I mean? To really,
oh, yeah.
at least from my eyes.
Yeah, we got
okay?
the judgment day coming up. Okay, but that'll be 2 weeks from today. Not next week, 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from
okay.
today.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Barbie. Take care. All
Thank
right.
You.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you. It was
okay.
My pleasure.
Right.
Bye-bye. Happy Easter.